grab a red or green hymnal and turn to song number 20. Welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church, and happy Father's Day. I tried to pick some songs that the fathers would like. Song 20, When I See the Blood. On the first, Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear. Yes, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus can save. As he has promised, so he will do. O sinner, hear him, trust in his word. Then he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there, who have rejected, who have refused. O sinner, hasten, let Jesus in, then God will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, what compassion, oh, boundless love. Jesus hath power, Jesus is true. All who believe are safe from the storm. Oh, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Great singing, Brother Joe. Will you open us in a word of prayer? Amen. Our next song is song number 44. We'll work till Jesus comes, song number 44. Oh, land of rest for the eyesight, when will the moment come? When I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home? We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Jesus comes and will be gathered home. To Jesus Christ I fled for rest. He bade me cease to roam and lean for succor on his breath till he conduct me home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. I sought at once my Savior's side. No more my steps shall roam. With him I'll brave death's chilling tide and reach my heavenly home. We'll work Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home.
Great singing. We'll have our announcements.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Shure Foundation Baptist Church, and happy Father's Day to everybody that's a father out there anyway. And let's take our bulletins and go through the announcements. If you need a bulletin, just lift up your hand. One of the ushers will bring you a bulletin. All right. On our front cover, we have our verse of the week. It says, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. It's a great Father's Day scripture there. On our inside page, we have our information about our church. We have all of our sermons stream on those social media sites there. We have our Bible Way to Heaven scan code. And then we have the service times, 10:30 a.m. for our preaching service. Sunday evening service is 3:30 p.m. Thursday Bible study is 6:30 p.m. We just started the book of First Chronicles. And so we're going through the names, the genealogies, and so we got our first chapter in last Thursday, and so we'll be doing, of course, chapter 2, not this Thursday, but the Thursday after, and our soul winning times are listed there below. We have soul winning today. I think the addresses are put in for the soul winning. We're going to meet in here at 1 o'clock. You can figure out what group you're in. If you're not planning on meeting in here at 1 o'clock, then just ask Brother Sean Conlon, what group you're in. And we might just have one group. Or we're going to have two for sure, you think? Yeah, two for sure. So just ask Brother Sean which group he wants you to be in. So then we also have our praise report, salvation totals, baptism totals, and morning attendance from last week and evening and Thursday there. Our events, our upcoming events today, of course, is Father's Day, and there's a gift for every dad in service. And guys, you can go ahead and start passing those out if you want. And what they are, they're designed to be keychains, but you could probably use them as blunt force trauma stabbing weapons if you want, or whatever, stencil. But there's a couple Fortress Baptist ones in there, so those are the rare ones. The rare ones that might be collectibles. You know, the coin guys probably appreciate that. So if you get the rare Fortress Baptist one, you scored. So, but there's also Sure Foundation. I think there's some Soul Winner ones in there too. So we're also having dinner provided, or supper, or whatever you want to call it, lunch, dinner or whatever. That's after church. We're having some food for after the service. So I would ask if just at some point right after the service, we get the ushers to just set up some tables real quick and chairs, place to serve all the food. The food's going to be picked up at 12. Hopefully it'll be here right around 12:15 or so. So it might take a few minutes to set everything up, but probably shooting for 12:30 to eat, probably 1:30 to be out soul winning actually today. So I think it's going to start a little bit later today, I think is what Sean said in the group chat there. So, and then tonight we're going to have a men's preaching night. So who prepared a sermon to preach tonight? I just want to see a show of hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Who's still working on one? 6. Okay. So 5 or 6 guys. All right, cool. So I'm looking forward to hearing the guys preach tonight. The other thing that's coming up this week is the Red Hot Preaching Conference. That starts on Thursday. The schedule is up on the website. The preaching lineup is right there in your bulletin for you. And I believe Pastor Anderson and Pastor, I'm not sure who's preaching on Thursday or Friday. I know I'm preaching Friday morning at 10 o'clock. So that's the only thing I'm pretty sure of. And Pastor Mendez is preaching Sunday morning. Pastor Jones Sunday night. So, but you'll have to get on their Rumble page. And who has access to Rumble and you know how to use it, kind of? Who has no idea and he's still or YouTube only? Okay, so a couple people. So you're pretty adept at getting on there. So if you want to watch the sermons, just go on Rumble, figure out where Pastor Mendez's Red Hot is. You can also just go on his website. I'm sure you can find it pretty easily there. We're family integrated, of course. Please take your children to the Mother Baby Room for any needs you have. And just a reminder to not just let them run loose in the mother baby room by themselves or the dad baby room. They're getting a hold of some stuff in there they shouldn't be. And we just, you know, we don't want them closing and opening the doors. What makes me nervous is when I see little fingers by the edge of the door, because that door, if it hits, it's going to hit and it's going to do some damage. So just a reminder about that. And all the other stuff is pretty much par for the course. All the other rules, make sure you silence your cell phones, all that. The giving stuff is down at the bottom of the page. And let's see, the 21st is Miss Sheila's birthday. Coas is the 21st also. And let's see, what is today? What is today, the 16th? Okay, yeah, so it's in this week. I gotta take off my shoes to count sometimes. Anyway, and then also Ryan and Sarah have an anniversary coming up this week, and it'll be how many years? 10 years. Oh, that's the big one. That's one of the big ones. I forget what the special present you're supposed to get on those days is. I don't know where they get that from. It's probably Hallmark, and all these other companies make this kind of stuff up, but I don't know. It's probably traditions of pagans. Who knows? But anyway, that's a great milestone, so congratulations. Let's sing happy birthday, and then we'll sing happy anniversary. We'll sing happy birthday to Miss Sheila and Coath, all right?
Happy birthday to you.
And now let's sing happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary
to you. Amen. Any more? All right, that's all I have for announcements. Let's go ahead and sing another song. Oh, did I forget to go over the rest of the announcements? You're like, yeah, you did. So, yeah. Anyway, no 4th of July service. We're moving that to Tuesday. Don't forget to mark that on your calendars. And the upcoming Yakima trip is July 5th. You can see it there. All right. That's it. Go ahead and sing it. Let's go ahead and sing another song. Turn to Psalm 139.
In the Bibles.
Yeah, Psalm 139. It's Pride Month, and I sing this in my car at work sometimes. Psalm 139, your Bibles, or the binder in the seat in front of you.
Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. For they speak against thee wickedly. For they speak against thee wickedly. And thine enemies take thy name in vain. And thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. I count them mine enemies. Do not I hate them, that hate thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. And I am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. We'll have our ushers come forth to receive the offering. Brother Ramon, will you bless the offering?
Yep. Heavenly Father, thanks so much, Lord, for the word of God, that your words are pure words, Lord, that we can sing them out loud to you, Lord. I just pray that you bless this day, everything we do in it today, and bless this offering as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible under the seat in front of you. 1 Corinthians 11. The Bible reads, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now in this, that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Brother Eli, will you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much, Lord. We know that you've given us so much, Lord. Thank you for the word that you've given us with such power. Father, thank you most of all for your salvation. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to be attentive, take away distractions, help us to focus on your word, Lord. And I pray the Holy Spirit would give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. The title of the sermon this morning is The Man of the House. And this chapter here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we've read this in church quite a few times, and there's many different applications we can use out of it. But I want to take an application of it as far as the pecking order of our lives, as far as who's the head of the house. Now, obviously, I'm trying to preach a Father's Day sermon here, and I'm not trying to downgrade women, so don't get the idea that that's what I'm trying to do here. But is it okay to celebrate men for one day? Is it okay to celebrate fathers for one day? It is. So, and really what I want to discuss this morning is that we need actually strong men of the house. So the Bible actually talks about to overtake and spoil someone's house, that you have to bind the strong man. Now, that's pretty hard to do if there's not a strong man in the house, isn't it? If the guy's just kind of, you know, Captain Weenie or whatever, you don't really have to bind the strong man. And, you know, today we have people that are so afraid of owning a gun that they just couldn't imagine owning a gun, a man, you know. But I believe that a man should be able to protect his family. And I believe that a man, you know, even if you're not big in stature or you know jujitsu or you know some kind of martial arts, that you should be willing to lay down your life to protect your family. That should just be an instinct that every man has. But there's a lot of men that, or so-called men out there, that they're so diluted by the soy milk that they're drinking, by the gallons and the skinny jeans that are tightening up their waistbands so much that they don't have any testosterone left, that they just refuse to act like men. And in this world where we're living in a feminazi hellhole where women are just being promoted over the top of men, this is not what God intended. Look at the Bible where it says in verse number 2 here, it says, Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. So he's talking about ordinances or things that God has set in place, rules that God has set in place. And the first thing he mentions is he's talking about who is the head of of everything. And of course it says, But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. So men do have accountability, and that accountability is to Christ. And Christ's accountability is to God the Father, obviously, as far as like within the Godhead. But it says the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Now, in the home, the Bible clearly draws this out. There's also, you know, Ephesians chapter 5 draws this distinction. The Bible teaches this distinction throughout the whole thing, pretty much, that men are the ones that are supposed to be in charge of the house, of the home. And we are answerable. We do have, everybody has somebody to answer to. Everybody has a boss that they have to answer to. Children, to their parents, both mom and dad. But men who are supposed to rule their house as benevolent dictators, you know, and people just hear that kind of preaching and they just melt like little snowflakes. They can't handle that stuff. But that is what the truth of what the Bible teaches, folks. And it shouldn't be, there's no 50-50. You know, all this stuff came about very late in history. This was not the norm or normative behavior in society for thousands of years. It's never been that way. But now, in 2024, we have a very different world on our hands. But we can still set the example in God's house. We can still set the example in the Christian home. We don't have to look at what society's doing, or liberal, watered-down, fun center type churches where mom is ruling as a matriarch in the home, and dad just sits there like the stupid dad from all the sitcoms on television. You know, men have been put down and a boot on their neck for too long. And look, we got to take back the role that God has given to us, and we got to be strong in our houses and for our household, because there's a lot depending on us as men to lead our homes, to lead in society, to lead in the things of God today in this world. Skip down to verse number 7. The Bible says, "For a man indeed ought to cover his head." This is talking, or not, excuse me, not to cover his head, "for as much as he is the image and glory of God." Of course, this is talking about the length of your hair in this particular part of the passage. It's saying it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And you know, if you get upset about that, that's what the Bible says. You know, Jesus didn't have long hair. And this should indicate to you, like, why, if Jesus had long hair, then why would he say it's a shame for a man to have long hair? And you're shaming your Savior when a man has long hair. Nature tells you that it's not right. It says, "But the woman is the glory of the man." So women are supposed to have long hair, all right? But that's neither here nor there. But it says, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." This is just saying facts, folks. It's not trying to demean women. It's just the fact. And with that headship of the home comes a great responsibility that we have. We're accountable to God for everything that we do, men. We're accountable for every decision we make, what church we go to, how our kids are raised, what we allow them to watch, what we allow them to hear, how we treat our wives in front of them. Everything that we do is going to be scrutinized by God as to how we were a steward with our families at home. And, you know, look, I'm not trying to exclude anybody else. You know, I'm talking about the home, the head of the household. But if you're a man and you have a house or you have an apartment, you're the head of your household still. And so a lot of these things still will apply to you today. Maybe you're, you know, there's a lot of people in different stages of their lives and different, you know, callings in their life. But there's a lot of things you can still apply. You can still be a strong man out in the world and show people what a good single Christian man is supposed to be like also. And if you're looking for a wife, have the attributes already of a godly spouse and a godly father, so they go, "Hey, that guy's going to make a good husband one day. That guy's going to make a good father one day." And they might cling to you more than somebody else. So it says, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. So just a few things here. God is described as our father, not our heavenly mother. You know, a lot of religions today will say Mother Earth, or they'll say, "Yeah, I believe in God, our mother," or whatever. It's just like, the Bible doesn't teach that, folks. Amen. But the Bible, you know, the NIV will try to make things gender neutral. The Jews will try to say the Shekinah glory of God is like the female part of God. This is trash. This is garbage. The Bible does not teach that. Amen. He's described as our heavenly father, not our heavenly mother. It's the man Christ Jesus, not the woman Christ Jesus. It's the bridegroom, not the bride. It's the King of Kings, not the Queen of Queens. And it's the prophet, not the prophetess. It's the son, not the daughter, all right? And again, I'm not putting down women, but this is just a fact of the Bible, so just get over it. Amen. Quit, just de-brainwash yourself from the feminist agendas that we've all grown up in society. This is just like a permeating death cult that's going on, where they're, you know, even trannies are becoming trannies or whatever, and then wanting to have abortions. They're wanting wombs so that they can have abortions. I mean, it's just weird. This world's just so strange, but we got to be the difference makers in this world and in our homes, in our churches. So, again, with being a man comes a tremendous amount of responsibility, and we're rewarded for our good stewardship and held accountable for our failures of our positions as leaders in our homes and any area of leadership that we've been given. In Genesis 2:15, I want to point something out to you that you might not have ever realized, but the commandment to, you know, the commandments that God gave to Adam were before Eve was even made, about not eating of the fruit of the tree of the tree of good and evil. Look at what it says in verse 15. It says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So ready-made stuff, already ready. Adam just kind of had to tidy things up and keep it organized or whatever. And it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." And this is, again, before Eve was formed. This is before Eve was made. And maybe God did that so she wouldn't try to give advice on what to name the animals or something. I don't know. But Adam, whatever Adam named them, that's the name of it, right? It says, "And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him." And that word meat is just another word for fitting. The animals are not fit for men, okay? It's abomination, obviously. It's not the same kind. So verse 21, that shoots evolution right in the foot. Anyway, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." So see, the commandment to keep and do these things and not to eat of that fruit, that was given to Adam before Eve was ever formed. So Adam had the responsibility to keep that commandment, to teach her that commandment, and then he leaves her alone and Satan comes upon her and beguiles her. So who did God hold responsible for the destruction and the downfall of mankind, for the sin of mankind? How is sin passed from the parents to the children? Is it through the mother? No, it's through Adam. Adam was held responsible because Adam was given the commandment. Adam was the head of that household. And it all falls on Adam. For in Adam all die. So Christ was a man also, and he redeemed all mankind. He is the second Adam. Now, there's a saying that's been going around. It's been going around a lot on the internet, and I think it's a pretty true saying. But, you know, it's also written by the mind of probably that's not saved, and so everybody wants to look at things through this alpha male lens, but it's from some book or something, but it says, "Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times." And it is kind of true. And the thought behind it is the cycle repeats itself, basically. And it is true to a certain degree. But if you think about it in the terms of a biblical way to look at it, it's actually, in all reality, the way God looks at it and the way we should look at it is that God raises up strong godly men. Strong godly men through God create good times. It's not us that's doing it. It's God that's blessing godly people. And so so strong godly men through God create good times. Good times or easy times creates morally weak and wicked men. This is the cycle you see in the Bible. Morally weak and wicked men create hard times. This is the cycle that you see in the Bible just like over and over again. You think about the book of Judges. You know, they would do good under the Savior that God would give them, the judge that he would raise up. And then as soon as that judge would die, what happens? Then they just revert back to their old ways. They start serving Baal. They just get more wicked than they were before. And then God would just have to keep doing the same process over and over again. And so he would raise up judges, and then God would deliver them when the people would groan and weep and cry and all this. But, you know, they just were doing it to themselves. They were shooting themselves in the feet by just allowing these easy times to make them soft, make them weak as far as Christianity and morality was going. They would just fall to the wayside. And this kind of happens with first and second generation Christians. I mean, think about David. He was a hard man. He was a man after God's own heart, but he was also a hard, battle-hardened man when it came to the things of God. He fought a lot of wars. He fought a lot of battles, and he was a strong Christian man, right? But then his son, you know, he passed it off to his son, and his son was in the zenith of Israel. He was basically the easiest time that Israel's ever had. You know, there was so much silver, it was like stones. It was like, for us, like, you think about rocks on the ground, it was like silver. That's how much silver there was around. It was just, they were just really rich, really decadent. And then what ended up happening? Solomon just kind of got too excessive in his heaping himself wives and horses from Egypt. All the things that God said, if you're a king, don't do these things. Basically, Solomon overdid it to the max. And then his wives turned away his heart. That's what the Bible teaches. And this same thing can happen to us. So we have to be careful not to make it too easy for our Christian children, because our Christian children can grow up in such a privilege that they kind of forsake the things of God in their own way too. And we don't want that to happen. So I'm not saying just like, you know, make them go up, you know, hill in the snow and whatever, all that kind of stuff, like do Rocky training or whatever. I'm not saying that, but you know, things shouldn't be super easy for them all the time. They should learn how to work and all those types of things. Grow up respectful, and not everything should be handed to them on a silver platter. So it's pretty sad when, you know, the most tenacious and feared leader in the House of Representatives today is a woman. Who knows who Marjorie Taylor Greene is? Anybody ever heard of her? She is feared by the Democrats. She's feared by the Republicans. Yes, I believe that she needs to go home and bake her husband some cookies. I agree with that. If you're saying that, yes, I agree with that too. But when men won't lead, what choice is there? You know, in the book of Judges, Deborah had to lead the people. And even she was just trying to get Barak to lead the people. But he's like, only if you go with me. I mean, he did it, but only if she went with him. So Israel was in such a dire strait for leadership that a woman had to come up and be the judge of Israel. Because hard times, you know, call for desperate measures. And the most godly person was a woman. Which, and again, she had to do what she had to do. I'm not calling Marjorie Greene or Taylor Greene, you know, I'm not calling her Deborah. But I have seen some things that I'm like, you know, hey, she's more bold and courageous than all the people that she works with that I've seen. And her own party members hate her, so that's probably a good thing. I mean, they want her out of there. The Republicans, a lot of the Republicans don't like her because they're trying to give all their money to Ukraine and help Israel. And she's like, no, you know, we need to fight our, you know, we need to care for our country here. We need to keep the money here. And, you know, when they passed that HB 6090 that I talked about, I looked to see what her voting record was recently on that. She actually fought against that. She lifted up her voice and spoke out against that. Other men congressmen did that too. I'm not saying that they didn't, but she openly spoke against it and said that the Jews did kill Jesus. You know, it's like, you know, that's instantly going to put a target on her back. Instantly going to put a target on anybody's back in Congress that actually is saved, if they're actually saved, right? So she said that that's what the Bible says. And it's like, you're going to make it illegal for a Christian to say what the Bible says, what the gospel says. So I saw another interview of hers where she said, I'm just getting sick and tired of people saying that we worship Trump. She said, I don't worship Trump. The only person I worship is God. And she said, my Savior is Jesus Christ. I was like, wow, I can't, you know, say anything bad about that. I mean, she shouldn't be in lead, but look at the other pansies that are in there that won't get up and say something like that. Amen. What a shame. What a shame when men are afraid to rise up and lead in our government systems. And they're just afraid of the other, you know, bought and paid for goyim. They're these servants of the Jews in there that are, you know, they would pass such a bill in a majority of Democrats and Republicans. That just tells you who's really running this country. And it's definitely not Christians. There's no independent Baptist on the Supreme Court, in case you have ever checked. But it was funny, she said, you know, you say we worship Trump, well, you worship George Floyd. Which I thought was pretty funny, because it's kind of true. Like, George Floyd's got a halo on his head or something. So I'm for Deborah in the Bible, who judged Israel because Barack wasn't manly enough to do it. But woe unto us in these days when you have women pastoring churches or co-pastoring churches. Joel Osteen is getting up and letting his wife preach to people, and she's saying some really wild stuff. I mean, if you've seen the videos of her, like, all Kool-Aided out and, you know, saying, you're not really serving God. You're serving yourself. You know, it's just like, wow. Anyway, so it's the man's responsibility. Go ahead and turn to Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. But it's the man's responsibility to lead his family in all things. Joshua was a strong leader, and he learned to lead from Moses, who was also a strong leader. But the children of Israel followed Joshua more perfectly than they followed Moses. I mean, they're always trying to stone Moses and Aaron. You know, they had to walk in the wilderness for 40 years because of their disobedience. But the children of Israel, for the most part, followed Joshua and everything he said. They're even like the death penalty to anybody that doesn't follow Joshua. I mean, they were really, you know, had his back. Look at Joshua 24, verse 15. It's a really famous verse in the Bible. A lot of people have this hanging in some kind of way, shape, or form in their house. It says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's strong leadership, isn't it? He's not saying, well, if my wife's okay with it, we'll serve the Lord. Or if my kids like this congregation, we'll stay here. If there's a lot of activities for my kids to do, we will serve the Lord. No, he said, as for me and my house, I'm making the decisions. I'm saying what church we're going to go to. I'm saying what's going to happen. We will serve the Lord. You know what? We need to have Christian men that have that attitude. Instead of just asking it for permission from your wife to do something, asking for permission from your children. Is it okay if we go to church today, kids? I mean, that kind of attitude exists. That's right. But it better not be said about God's people in this church that the wife is controlling the home. Look, the Bible, you saw the verses. The man is the head of the home. So let him lead. And you're like, well, he's just not doing it right. We'll let God chasten him. Let God deal with him. It's not your job to deal with him. It's God's job to deal with him. Amen. You nagging him to death is never going to change him. He's just going to get bitter with you. Amen. So, you know, if you think nagging him is going to help, it's not. It's just not going to help. Let God nag him. Because then, so if you want God to just like kind of chasten him and get him right, then why don't you just let him do that instead of God turning his ire towards you? Because then once you usurp authority over the man's authority in the home, then God's going to be like, okay, I was on him, but now guess what? I'm on you. Welcome to your punishment. And then maybe he's punishing both of you. And that's not good if everybody in the house is getting punished, right? Let us take it. We're the ones that are supposed to take it. Jesus took it. Adam took it. The man is supposed to take these things. So lead your family to Christ, men. Make sure your kids get saved. Lead your family to church. Amen. Don't make your wife do it all the time. You take them. You take them to church. You make it important. It's important. Amen. keep them from the gods of this world that just want their minds. And that can be gotten through so many different aspects of our lives that we live out in the world, because we do live in the world. We're not supposed to be of the world. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. And the more you let in, the worse it's going to be. The more you have to defrag. And then when you get older, you'll be like, man, I should have never let them watch that show. What was I thinking? I never should have let them play with those things. What am I thinking? I never should have let them hang out with that friend. What was I thinking? That friend led their heart away from God. I never should have just let them dress however they wanted. What was I thinking? Be like Joshua and say, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. A man must be willing to fight for his family and to protect them. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, the Bible says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You know what? If you got God on your side, what's he say though? Be strong and of a good courage. Hey, when you're strong in the Lord, when you're strong for him, and you have the courage to do what's right, because believing something and actually doing it are, you know, those things have to go hand in hand. And it takes bravery to live in this world and to live as a Christian. It's not easy to go to work and be the weird one because they think you're weird because you're a Christian. You believe in big families? What's wrong with you? You go to church 3 times a week? What's wrong with you? You don't drink alcohol? What's wrong with you? You don't go to the club? What's wrong with you? No, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You let your kids just spend the night at anybody's house? What's wrong with you? Oh, you wonder why your kid got molested. Why are you just allowing total strangers to have access to your children like that? I mean, there's just so many things that people just don't understand. You allow your wife to have male friends outside of the home and you let them go have lunch with them? You're crazy. Amen. Wives, you will allow, you know, your husband to have female friends outside of the home? You're crazy. You're asking for adultery to happen. That's what you're asking for. You're like, no, you're just jealous. Yeah, exactly. That's what the Bible says. And God's a jealous God too. He doesn't want us committing spiritual whoredom either. Or spiritual adultery. But, you know, physical adultery, he hates that too. And you know what? We should hate it also. Don't put yourself in a position where you're going to be tempted to do those things. So we have to be willing to be strong and of a good courage. And God is going to be with us. He says for us not to fear. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Afraid of who? Well, he's talking here about the Canaanites and how they need to be conquered and all these things. Not to be afraid of them. There were giants. They were way more powerful than them. The Bible says that, but God was with them. But we also have battles that we have to fight out in the world. Obviously, we're not fighting with swords and shields and all that stuff. Ours is a spiritual battle. Ours is a battle for the hearts and minds of our children, for the hearts and minds of the people around us. And it's our job to go out and fight the spiritual battles of the Lord. He wants us to conquer the land in a different way, in the way we're conquering the land for Christ through the gospel. Amen. This is the picture that this has actually given us. Joshua 1:9 says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, if you're going to be with God, he's going to be with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not. When the time comes, when you have to make a stand, he's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to, you know, you're doing what's right and you think, oh man, I'm all by myself. You're not all by yourself. God is with you. And that is the best person to have on your side. Even though everybody else forsakes you. I mean, Paul was kind of in that position. You know, and Jesus kind of just comes up and says, Paul, I'm not going to let anybody set on thee to hurt thee. I mean, obviously God's not going to whisper that in your ear, but just know that that's his attitude. He says it over and over again. We have to be willing to fight and protect our family. And Deuteronomy 31 verse 7, we also have to Well, just look at what it says. It says, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with the people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit." So here is Moses giving Joshua the charge, and he's giving him a charge of leadership. You know, men are supposed to be the leaders, not just of the home, but God calls men to be the leaders in the outside world also. But again, we're in a world right now where if you're white, you can't get hired. If you're a man, you can't get hired. And so strong leadership is not being allowed. So why is our world in trouble? Well, because we don't have strong leadership. It's just, I mean, we have someone with dementia as our president. He's not even really, I mean, he's just standing there like a zombie most of the time. He can't function, you know. I mean, he's sitting down in chairs that, you know, it's not time to sit. You know, he's just like over and over again. I know people are saying he was, you know, all this other stuff, but he just doesn't, he's not functioning correctly. And people are just ignoring his cognitive abilities just so that they can't get the orange man in there or whatever. But it's also a man's responsibility to raise his sons to be strong and love God. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Here we get a really good insight on David just having some time with his son where he's trying to instruct him. And we don't have time to go through the whole chapter, but he's really just trying to lay out the responsibility that Solomon has to be the next king of Israel and the heir apparent to the kingdom. And David's advice is really heartfelt here, and it's great advice. But what's he trying to do? He's trying to get his son to be strong and to love God. Look what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. It says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, so be saved or whatever, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." It's a good stern warning. And it's good advice to his son. Hey, be with God. You know what? He's going to be with you. Don't forsake him. Look at verse 10. It says, "Take heed now. Pay attention, Solomon. Pay attention. For the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for his sanctuary. Be strong and do it." He's saying, be strong. And, you know, when you think of Solomon, do you think of him as a great warrior? No. He wasn't a great warrior. According to the Bible, he wasn't. I mean, maybe he could do some swordplay. I don't know. But that's not what he's known for, is it? It's for his wisdom and his intelligence and his wisdom in making choices. But he was commissioned to do one thing, and that was to build the sanctuary of the Lord, the temple, right? But he says, be strong. You still have to be strong to get things done as a leader, no matter what. He's telling his son, be strong and do it. Look at verse 19. "All this David said, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." So we got this great insight of him just telling his son to be strong. And it's a man's responsibility to have his sons be strong. And we're not talking necessarily in a physical way here. He's just saying, be strong. Be strong in the faith. Be strong with your love towards God. And get done the task that you're supposed to get done. And Solomon, you know, we know that he just kind of got caught up in all this other stuff. And he's talking about, you know, learning about peacocks and all these different things, which is cool. But he set his mind to pleasure, and that was his downfall. And he did get the house of the Lord done. But he did forsake the Lord. And God forsook him and severed the kingdom. And it was severed ever since then. So 10 tribes were lost after that. So It's also a man's responsibility to keep his daughters pure and to raise them to be keepers at home, not feminists at college. To be their covering, to make sure they're covered up when they go outside. Not to just let them dress however they want when they become teenagers. Because look, if you just allow your kids to dress however they want, they will.
That's right.
You have to tell them how to dress. And then, you know, there's just all these things. You're the purity cult and all this other stuff. That's this. Look, there's nothing wrong with keeping your children pure. There's nothing wrong with keeping your children covered up. And the Bible teaches that a man is responsible, a dad is responsible for their daughters until the day that they marry them off to their husband. And then their husband is responsible for them afterward. They're never not supposed to be cared for. And if their husband dies, or they're widowed or something, or maybe their husband divorces them and they have no choice, the Bible says to requite them to their parents. So they're supposed to move back in with their parents. So that she's covered in some way, shape, or form. There's never a time when a daughter should not be covered either by the dad or by, say they're not alive. Well, a family member then. I mean, you think about Esther, you know, being taken in by Mordecai. So it's a man's responsibility to train and raise his children in the ways of the Lord. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Very famous scripture there. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6. Now, training isn't just discipline. Training isn't just love. You have to have a balance in your training of children. You know, it's not only about the spanking. Because children, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You know, they're going to do foolish things and you have to correct them, but make sure it's age appropriate. I mean, you shouldn't be giving a full-on spanking to a six-month-old. That's just weird. It's abusive. So I'm not teaching for anybody to be abusive. But it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Anybody that gets trained, you think there's training that happens all over the world. We do training for soul winning. We do, you know, you train at a job. Nobody just goes into a job they've never done before and doesn't receive some sort of training. You usually do onboarding and you watch some training videos about, you know, if you're in a major Fortune 500 company or a company that has construction of some sort, you're going to go through some sort of safety training or, you know, on the job training where you're learning how to do the job. Training is what helps us to be good at something. So if you want to train your children, you have to actually show them things to do. You can't just get mad because they're not holding the flashlight right, Dad.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, just hold it steady. They're just like, looking at stuff. Shine it right there, you know. Dad wouldn't have to yell at you if you just hold it right, you know. But that stuff comes with training, you know. I mean, I think about training to mow the lawn. You know, there's a certain way you cut grass, and it's not always the same way. If you always cut your grass the same exact way, it's going to lay a certain way. I don't know if anybody knows that or not, but I mean, that's the way I was taught. And I'd have to cut it like diagonal one week and then diagonal back the other week. Have you ever seen people's yards and it looks like it's just like a grid? That's why, because they cut it that way on purpose. But they're not going to know that if you never teach them how to do it. Just get out there and mow the lawn. They're just like, you know, they're in shorts and flip-flops. It's like, put some pants on, put some shoes on, because if you hit something with the propeller or whatever, what's it called? The blade, yeah, okay. Yeah, the propeller, good night. It looks like a propeller, the blade. I'm sure you've hit something, like a rock or something like that, and it flies and hits you. Well, you know, if you're not wearing shorts and flip-flops, it can go right into your leg or right into your foot or... You know, you run over your foot, or I don't know. I've just never cut grass without having long or at least shoes on. Yeah. You got to have shoes on. But those things, they're not going to know if you just tell them to do something. You got to train them how to do these things. Okay, the Bible says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. The Bible does teach in corporal punishment. It teaches that we should apply the rod to the seed of learning, right? Apply the rod, and you know the Bible says to if you do not use the rod, you are hating your son. So we need to apply discipline, and then that's going to make your child better. And it's like, well, that's not what gentle parenting teaches. Well, look at those gentle parent, look at those gentle parenting techniques when those kids get older. Try to get those people saved at the door later and see what happens when they were gentle parented. See, watch the fits that they throw when they don't get to have something in the store. I mean, my kids would have been picking themselves up off the floor if they would have acted that way in the store. I mean, you can't let your kids act like that. I mean, you probably don't want to slap them around in the store in front of everybody because they'll call CPS on you, but you might need to take them to the bathroom and teach them a thing or two. But, I mean, they only have to do that once. I mean, my kids got compliments at every restaurant we ever went to. People would always come up to us and go, oh, your kids are so well behaved. How do you do it? You know, they were just good at the restaurant. I mean, even when they were babies, they were pretty good. So, but that's how you do it. You don't let them just, if you don't want your kids running around the restaurant, guess what? Don't let them run around the restaurant. Right. It's pretty simple. You know, if they're just, because they're always just fighting to get out of your arms, aren't they? You know, they're just like, sit down. You know, just make them sit. But they're always just trying to get up and run. But if you want them to be behaved, then just make them, you know. It's not super difficult. I mean, some kids are. Let me rephrase that. Yeah, some kids are difficult. But you know, just a little training is going to help them to be, you know, you can train that out of them. And then when they're older, they're not going to depart from that training. That's what the Bible's saying. So Ephesians chapter 6, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Yeah, that whole gentle parenting thing is just really weird. I mean, I do think that you should be gentle with your kids. There's times to be gentle. This verse teaches that. Look, it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You know why it says fathers? Because fathers are the ones that usually do this. By teasing, by, you know, tormenting and other things. But it says, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So a lot of times you think of a nurturing mother, but the Bible says, God says, that we're supposed to nurture our children also. Fathers, admonish them to do right. Teach them to do right, but also love them. Be loving. As a man, yeah, you can be strong, but don't lack love. Because you can give all discipline and no love, and your children will still hate you. But if you have a balance in your discipline, where, yeah, they know that they're going to face the wrath if they do something really bad, but they should also know that you have mercy. I mean, what does God teach? How is God towards us? I mean, we should just think about how God is with us and then apply that in our parenting. Does God always destroy us every time we do something wrong? No. Does he lighten up the punishments? Yeah. Does he allow us to get away, seemingly get away with stuff? He does. Or has tremendous mercy in those situations, because if we got what we deserved every time, we'd already be dead a long time ago, all of us. 3 years old, I'd be dead in Kmart when I stole some little toys and put them in my pocket. I'd be like, dead, thou shalt not steal. Be a three-year-old toddler with a thunderbolt and in Kmart or whatever. So, I mean, but I'm not saying, you know, if your children break, you know, big commandments, I think that you should chasten them, you know. They lie, they steal, they disrespect you. I mean, you can't let them get away with stuff like that. They smite you, things like that. So it might seem funny to let them box you and stuff like that, but, like, I would shy away with that from that personally, because you don't want them just teeing off on you. Because the Bible says the death penalty for smiting your parents. So, like, you don't want to kind of make that a playful thing with them. And then all of a sudden when they're 16, they're like, I think I can take them. Pow! You know? I mean, there's some horrific things going on in this world today where people are just... I mean, when I saw this video where this, like, 15-year-old kid knocked his grandfather out, it was, like, probably 80 years old or something, and all of his friends were laughing about it. Man, that was hard to watch. Like, that kid's probably dead. I mean, God probably just did not allow that guy to live. But, I mean, it's just so wicked. But I'm just saying that we shouldn't just allow our kids to tee off on us like that. We got to do something about it. And so chastening our children when they do something wrong is the right thing to do. If you spare that when they're crying, please, please don't. And kids are really good at this, making you feel like the world's biggest monster when you're about to spank them. Right? No, no, daddy, no, daddy, no, 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 I promise. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And it just like makes you feel bad. It's like, man, I mean, is it my spankings? Are they that bad? No, it's manipulation. They're manipulating you. Don't let them do that. And women really allow this more than men do, honestly. And to men, I think it just makes them mad. It's like, you're going to get it worse. You know, especially when they're like trying to block. You know, Remy was the master blocker, like hit his forearms, you know, and he's hurting you, but that's why you hit with a spoon. But anyway, and then they put their arm back there. It's like, I told you, move your hands. So, but they are good at manipulating you. So don't let them do that. That's why it says, don't let let not thy soul spare for his crying, but you got to do it while there's hope, because if you wait too long, there's no hope. Isn't that what that's kind of what it's implying there, right? If you don't spank your children like you're supposed to, you know, you keep giving them chances all the time, mom, when dad's away, and like, wait till your father gets home, and you play this game of wait till your father gets home, and then right before they get home, they're like, okay, well, I'm not going to tell him because you were good for like the last hour. And it's like, that's a game that they'll play with you, and then they know they can just get over on mom every time. And then dad just never kind of really finds out about it until mom gets really mad. Like, do you know what he did last week? It's just like they completely throw him under the bus or whatever. So I'm not saying this by experience or anything. I mean, but anyway, moving on. So, yeah, but as we have to have a balance, Dad. We have to have a balance in how we discipline our children. Look at Psalm 127, verse 3. Psalm 127, verse 3. And when we train our children, you know, who doesn't want their children to, as a dad, who doesn't want their children to be close to them as they get older, as they move out of the house? I mean, everybody wants that. But it doesn't always happen. So, and sometimes it's our fault, sometimes it's their fault, but, you know, that's something that we should desire. But if your kids can't stand you because you just weren't balanced, or maybe they just didn't feel like you loved them or something, I mean, that those things can happen, that you can grow apart. But the Bible says, you know, we're supposed to raise our children for inheritance to God. That is, I mean, obviously we love them and we want them to be our legacy or whatever, but in reality, it's God's legacy. That's why he gave us children. It says in Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." So we're like kind of borrowing them to raise them for God. So when we raise them however we want, we're like, they're my kids. God doesn't need to worry about what I do with my kids. What's the Bible say though? They're his reward. They're a heritage of the Lord. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Now, if you think about a guy, a mighty man, you're talking about like a man of war. Right? And it says, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. So, you know, this is where you get that quiver full mentality where you want to have a lot of children. Isn't that what it's kind of saying? If you have a lot of children, you're a happy man. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So when your children are young, they're all for you. You know, when you come home and you have a lot of young children, what do? They come up, Dad, you know, they're all happy that you're here, you know, high five, wrestling around a little bit or whatever. They're super excited. But there comes a time when that goes away. But it's taught when it says children of the youth, they speak with their enemies at the gates. You know, these children of the youth, they're excited to be on Dad's side. They're excited. So, hey, keep that excitement going. Keep that closeness going. Even though children are really awkward when they're teenagers, you know, still just interact with them. Even though it's hard, it is hard sometimes. It's like they're all just awkward and stinky and, You got pimples and all that stuff. But I'm talking about boys, okay? The girls are weird too sometimes. But I'm just saying weird as in it's just a transition age where they're becoming going from children to adults. And it is an awkward stage. And they don't want to have anything to do with their parents. Their parents are dumb and they don't know anything. You know, a lot of kids have that idea in their head. And then when they get married and they realize that their parents were right about everything, then, you know, things change, you know, for the most part. Now, that's not a one size fits all. Sometimes parents are wrong about some stuff. So I'm just saying that, you know, the Bible teaches it's a blessing to have children and they're his heritage and we should raise them like that. And they shall speak with their enemies at the gates. They're like our little warriors. I mean, as a grandfather, we have 9 grandchildren now. And we're about to have 10 here real soon in August, Lord willing. And I went over not too long ago to, I hadn't seen the Brandon and Nia's kids in a little while, and my granddaughters, and they, when I got to the door, they were all excited for me to be there. Papa, you know, they're just like excited. It's like it kind of just reminded me of when I would come home from work and my kids were little, and they would come to greet me. So it's nice to have someone excited to see you, you know. So it just kind of is nice. So yeah, if you're a grandfather or a grandparent, when you're that, you know, just remember that your children need your influence. They, you know, you want them to love you too, you know, and not just be the Winnebago grandparents. You know, we did our thing. Good luck. You know, I want to be a help to my grandchildren as much as I possibly can. I mean, what's the goal here, men, with our children? What is the goal? Is it to just raise them and then let them go to the devil? Absolutely not. I mean, our goal is to raise the next generation and so that they would raise their kids for the Lord. But you don't really see that in society a lot. But God does teach us that we're supposed to diligently teach our children so that they don't forget the Lord. They don't forget the deeds that the Lord has done for them. Modern day, that's obviously what Christ did for them, that he died, was buried, and he rose again the third day. And we need to teach our children diligently these things. We need to teach them the things of the Lord. And we need strong men in the home to be able to do this. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. My goal has always been to just raise my children, have them be saved. And obviously I want them to serve the Lord. Not just be saved, but I want them to serve the Lord. I've never pushed being a pastor or being some full-time ministry worker or anything like that on them. But if they want to do that, I also don't discourage it. So if that's something that they've ever wanted to do, then I'm all for it. Because I'm not going to discourage them to serve the Lord. It's just, they can do what they want. But as far as, you know, as long as they're serving the Lord, that's when I'll be happy. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." This is what God expects from us men, all men, not just dads, but all men, that we stand fast in the faith, that we don't forsake the faith of our Father. We don't forsake the faith of our God. And we should be like men, willing to hang in there in the battle and be strong. You notice a theme kind of that keeps popping up in these verses? Be strong, be courageous, all these things. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible also talks about girding up your loins like a man, pulling up your belt, tightening it up, get ready to work. I mean, men are workers. Show your children how to work. Show your children that you're a hard worker. You're not just lazy dad that never does anything. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." See, our strength, it doesn't necessarily come from being an alpha male bodybuilder. And I'm not knocking people that do that kind of stuff. I'm just saying that that's not the kind of strength I'm talking about. That you're just only eating meat with gunpowder in it or something. You're just like the ultimate alpha male. Ugh, you know? That's not what the Bible's teaching. The Bible's saying to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's where we get our strength. I'm talking about spiritual strength here. And I'm not saying forsake your fitness. I'm just saying be strong in the Lord. And it says, put on, how do you do that? Well, you put on the whole armor of God. That's how. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How are you going to lead your family if you never put on the armor of God? How are you going to be strong in the Lord if you never put that on? Do your kids ever see you put the armor on? You're like, well, it's not a real set of armor. No, but it's the faith that they see in you. It's that you they see these attributes in you that are in this armor. Do they see that armor on you? Look what it says in verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do your kids see you battling against that, or are you just letting all that in? Is this what they're seeing on in a daily basis in your home? Are you turning the other way while Baal is in your television? Are you turning the other way as you're just allowing all this stuff to come into their ears that shouldn't be coming in? It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Is that what your kids are seeing? Are they seeing the helmet of salvation? Are they seeing the breastplate of righteousness? Are they seeing the shield of faith in yourself, Dad? Are they seeing the gospel shoes on your feet? Because you know what? If you don't care for other people, why should they? Right. If you don't care about the things of God, then why should they? Don't brag that you're not spiritual. That's not anything to brag about. And if you're not spiritual, then get spiritual. Amen. Your kids are counting on you. Amen. You know what? There's something more important than yourself. If you're a real man, your children are more important to you than you are yourself. Would you die for your children? Would you let them just be killed by someone in front of your eyes? I would rip somebody's head off for trying to mess with my children. If they come in my house, they're gonna know that they were in a fight at least. Amen. They're not gonna just walk in and hurt my family without having a fight. And you know what? You should fight for your children spiritually too. And the only way you're gonna do that is if you put this armor on. And they see that you're a warrior. They see you're a warrior of God. I'm not talking about that you have the best AR-15, although that's nice, or that you have a great knife collection. That's nice too. Or, you know, all that stuff's cool, but do you have the spiritual armor? Because this is how you're strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. And your kids need to see that armor on you. They need to see it so that they can learn to put that armor on themselves. Because someday, you know, they can't, like David, could not put on Saul's armor. He said, I've not proved it. But he had the chance to wear it. But do you think that David put on armor at some point in his life? Sure he did. You know, he's in these big battles with the Philistines after that. I'm sure he wasn't just with a sling and five stones every battle with a shepherd's script. I'm sure he had his own armor made for himself. And you know what? Our kids can't always just be counting on your armor. They're going to have to learn to get their own armor and put that armor on for themselves. And they're never going to do it if they never see you put it on. Amen. So turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And Paul's teaching here to Timothy, who's a pastor, and he's calling him his son. Because Timothy, he calls him also in other places, my son in the faith. So, you know, if you don't have a son that's begotten of you, you can still have sons in the faith. Amen. Right? I mean, so don't get all down, this is just about fathers. No, it's not just about fathers. It's about, you can be a spiritual father, right? You can get people saved and you can teach them the ways of the Lord. And, you know, it says, commit thou to faithful men. You know, so you can teach them also. You can disciple those people that you get saved, and they can be like your spiritual children. Amen. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And there's too many men out there today that are just spiritual soy boys. They're spiritual snowflakes, and they have no guts. They're not enduring hardness, you know. And right now, we're kind of, Christianity's in kind of an easy time. At least in this country, it is. In this country, it's easy to be a Christian. It's easy to be a do-nothing Christian. But when the hard times come, we need some hard men. We need some hard soldiers. We need some strong men to actually be willing to continue to fight. How long will you live without your cell phone and whining about that? I've been 3 days without my cell phone and able to update my Instagram photos. If that's you, you're a spiritual soy boy. You need to just detach from that thing. Because Instagram can go to hell. Facebook can jump in the lake. And those aren't the things that are important. Could you survive in some kind of a world where it's, you know, not like it is right now? Really easy for us. Really easy to go get people saved. Really easy to come to church. I mean, we've just seen a glimpse of it when people are trying to intimidate us to not come to church, brandishing weapons, Karen apartment managers, introducing us to their dogs and asking what our problem is. I mean, following us around and ripping our invitations off the doors and stuff like that. That's kind of the most what we see. But imagine that everybody does that. And then you have to have the guts to go around and take your family around the doors where everybody's hostile. We got to be hard. We got to be strong. So for verse 4, 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So 2 Timothy, or turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I'm almost done here. Just got a few more things to say, and then I'm done. Titus chapter 2. And just to kind of speak once again to the young men and the single men. The Bible says, young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Hey, you know, just because you're young or just because you're single, you don't have the excuse of not living a godly life. You know, quit saying, I'm going to do it when I get older. That excuse is just going to get old and it's just not going to be true. A lot of people say, I'm going to do this when I get older, and then you're old and you're like, I never did it. Do it now while you have the chance. Titus 2:1 says, but speak those things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in peace. So old men, you don't get the excuse to get out of it either. You know, God still wants you to be a spiritual man even when you're an old age. You know, in the Bible, a lot of times when guys get old, they kind of forsake the Lord, they get soft, they get weak in their doctrine. This is what we see a lot of times, like even in like the old IFB, there was like a fired up preacher, and then all of a sudden he's just kind of wishy-washy in the end. I mean, you see what is Jeff Owens, he's ripping face against the sodomites, and then he's like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't even mean those things when I said them. It's just like, yeah, you did. You got comfortable. You know, now you're running your own church and you got persecuted, and you know, you got weak, you compromised. I like old Jeff Owens. I mean, the young Jeff Owens, better. But, you know, maybe you've lost your father or you're estranged from your father. Well, if you're saved, you have a heavenly Father. That's the nice thing about that. And he lives eternally. He'll never die. He loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He'll never leave you. And he only wants what's best for you. He only punishes you when you actually deserve it. doesn't fly off the handle and spank you when you don't deserve it. And, you know, he only is looking to do things for our benefit. You know, he daily loadeth us up with benefits. So, and if you're a dad in here today, just think about how you're doing. It's good to take a spiritual temperature of how you're doing. It's good to look in the mirror and say, hey, how am I doing as a man leading my house? How am I doing as the strong man? Can someone just come and overthrow my house? And I'm not talking about just binding you physically. I'm talking about binding you spiritually. And that's really what Jesus is talking about, that devils would come in and bind the strong man, right? And he uses an example of someone being able to rob somebody by binding that man up. But if the devil has you bound in all kinds of sins that you have fallen into, and maybe you just don't feel spiritual enough to lead your family because you're in all kinds of sin, well, then you need to get that sin out of your life and be strong again for your family. Be a strong husband. Be a strong father. Be a strong leader. And, you know, the failures to be a strong man, you know, are what is going to weigh heavily on your mind when you're older. And the failures that you have are the things that are going to stick with you. So, you know, start doing better. I mean, that's the best I can say, is that only you know where you're at. I don't know where you're at. I don't know how your home life is, because I don't meddle with people's home lives. Only you know where you're at. Lifting weights and being an alpha male, again, isn't what I'm talking about. How's your reps, bro? How's your bench? You know, what's your max? What do they call that? Like, what's the
PR?
What's your PR, bro? It's like, what's your PR spiritually? How many times you read the Bible? What's your PR max times you've read through the Bible in 1 year, bro? Well, why don't you start gauging those things? Because that's actually way more important. How much prayer have you done this year, bro? What's your max PR, bro, on your prayer time? You know, I'm not saying you should just pray for hours a day or whatever, but there's a lot more important things in our lives than lifting weights. And I'm not against that. I'm not saying that. But being an alpha male Christian is what I'm talking about. So if you want to be an alpha male Christian, be an alpha male Christian. But I'm not talking about, you know, skipping the soy, the unspiritual soy, the soy of the NIV, you know, the soy of weak churches. You know, there's a lot of spiritual soy out there. So, but being an alpha male Christian is what I'm talking about, and showing, you know, we need to show people what a Christian family and a strong Christian man actually looks like. When they think of Christian, they should think of a strong Christian man that's not going to just allow his family to just be destroyed over any little thing. Not allow the filth and garbage to come in their home. Not allow their children to just go to the devil and not care. Right? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this great church. Lord, I pray for the dads in our church, for the fathers in our church, Lord. And Lord, I don't know everybody's situation, but I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have strong homes in this church, Lord. And that the men in our church would be strong in faith, Lord, not just bodily, but in faith. And Lord, that they would lead their families like Joshua said that he would do, that he would lead his family. And Lord, I pray that the men in our church would lead their families also. And I pray that you would just help us as a nation, Lord, to start to take back some of these things. And even though, Lord, we know that this country is in bad shape, Lord, I pray that we would just be an example in our lives to other men, that maybe they would want to follow and see what the and taste of the Lord and taste that he is good, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This last song this morning is song 406, Who is on the Lord's Side? Who is on the Lord's side? Your red and green hymnals. on the first. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers, other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? By thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine. Not for weight of glory, not for crown and palm, enter we the army, raise the warrior psalm. But for love that claimeth lives for whom he died, he whom Jesus nameth must be on his side. By thy love constraining, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine. Jesus, thou hast bought us, not with gold or gem, but with thine own lifeblood for thy diadem. With thy blessing filling each who comes to thee, thou hast made us willing, thou hast made us free. By thy grand redemption, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine. Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the King's own army none can overthrow. Round his standard ringing, victory is secure. For his truth unchanging makes the triumph sure. Joyfully enlisting, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine.
Great singing. Brother Brandon, will you end us in a word of prayer?